we are. This is Real World Radio on air. www.realworldradio.fm.
Defending the environment in Russia, consequences of the foreign agents law. Social activism in general and environmental struggles in particular are under threat in Russia today. The so-called foreign agents law is effectively silencing several non-governmental organizations or directly forcing them to dissolve. Continuing the work for environmental protection is really a huge challenge in current Russia. This is what activist Vitaly Servetnik, co-chair of the Russian Social Ecological Union, Friends of the Earth Russia, said in an interview with Real World Radio. The Russian law on foreign agents, passed in 2013, states that NGOs receiving grants from abroad while being involved in political activities must label themselves as foreign agents. The reference to foreign agent in Russia is directly associated with espionage during Cold War times. The law has been questioned at national and international level by several social actors who consider it violates human rights and that it was created to weaken opposition groups. By the end of April 2017, 160 organizations were branded as foreign agents, stigmatizing the organizations and leading many of them to dissolve entirely. Naturvernforbundet, Friends of the Earth Norway, published a report, Pressure Towards Russian Environmental NGOs, Status of Russia's Foreign Agents Law and Consequences for Civil Society in 2016, with Servetnik as one of its co-authors, where he expresses concerns for the uncertain future of the Russian civil society. Real World Radio shares this interview with Vitaly Servetnik, aiming to deepen on the conditions of social and environmental activism in Russia today and the violent consequences of the foreign agents law on environmental defenders.
Real World Radio has the opportunity of being now speaking with Vitaly Servetnik. He is the co-chair of the Russian Social Ecological Union, that's Friends of the Earth Russia. Vitaly, you have been very kind accepting this interview. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Vitaly, we have been very worried about the situation of the activists and the NGOs in your country, especially the NGOs which are working on issues related to environment and which are facing some persecutions and are really under pressure in your country. And that's why we wanted to have this opportunity with you and to start with this. I would like to ask you, Vitaly, what is exactly the Russian foreign agents law?
Russian foreign agent law, it's a law specifically targeting NGOs. This law was created to stigmatize NGOs, and like legally it means that if organization receiving any foreign funding, even like €1 or $1, whatever, any foreign money. And at the same time, if this organization doing political activity, which is understood quite broadly, so any activity like with intention to influence any policy, so any work that NGO usually do, like informing people, spreading information, contacting authorities, criticizing, especially criticizing, proposing alternative solutions, everything considered as a political activity. So if you have foreign funding and political activity, then you could be labeled as a foreign agent. And it means that organization will face like more reporting, and organization has to register themselves as a foreign agent, which in Russian context actually means that it's kind of could be interpreted as traitors because of the Stalin era vocabulary and like traitors and spies, and actually means that nobody will really want to cooperate with you and even talk to you. And we even had examples when NGOs, even not being labeled as a foreign agent, just saying that they're NGOs, so they were denied to cooperate with schools or some municipalities or just from ordinary people. So it's mostly like about stigmatization and marginalization civil society organizations. Yeah, this is the main thing, because some organizations try to kind of self-censorship their activities and be like less critic and like more careful and everything. But in the end of the day, nothing really worked. And if authorities or some other groups want to stigmatize and target NGO, then yeah, any activity could be considered as foreign. And yeah, we have, like, at the moment, from the beginning of this law implementation from 2013, we have 160 NGOs in this list, and 30 of them are environmental groups. And about 10 of those groups are our members or connected to our members. And yeah, we can say that it's really affecting NGOs and environmental movement in Russia, both because organization being closed because of this law or fined. And if organization didn't register themselves, then they could be fined with really big fines in Russian terms. And it actually means kind of end of organization.
Okay, Vitaly, by the end of April this year, in a press release sent by Friends of the Earth Europe about a joint study that you, friends, as Friends of the Earth Russia and Friends of the Earth Norway did about this situation in Russia, the press release said that 160 organizations were branded at this moment as foreign agents in your country. Is this number still growing? What do we know about that?
Yeah, it's kind of, I mean, we had like, I'm personally looking into this issue, like, most specific into this issue about foreign agents and other also persecution of environmental groups and activists. But yeah, as we did in the report, we just tried to analyze reasons and what happens with the group who labeled as a foreign agent. And it's still around 160 in general. I mean, in general, all the NGOs, and it's most active NGOs in Russia. And 30, it was 29 when the report was published, and it's 30 now environmental groups targeted. I mean, it's growing, but at the same time, it's kind of reducing, and authorities, it's kind of tricky because authorities also, really like to report that there's like less organizations in the list. And it's probably less than 160 now, but it's only because organization being closed down and then removed from the register, from this list, from the register. So we can say that even official register, this list officially kind of reducing, but organization being labeled and targeted anyway. And we can even say that during last year, I mentioned in the report that we can see that there is less organization labeled, but those organizations who labeled already faced more pressure, like more court cases, more inspections, more problems, and more organizations being closed down because of difficulties to work with the status and spend a lot of time to fights in the courts instead of like their environmental work. So more and more organizations are deciding to close down instead of fighting for like keeping organization on and on. And this is kind of, we could say that this is kind of bad trend because when formalized organization, kind of institutionalized organizations close down, then there is attacks on individuals starting. And we already like seen such examples.
Okay, Vitaly, you have already denounced that there have been hate attacks against environmental activists in Russia after this law, as I understand that you are saying that this law has also had any other kinds of consequences. What can you tell us about that, specifically about those hate attacks that you are saying that have already happened?
Of course, we cannot say, like, I mean, and authorities would disagree with this, but like this law doesn't allow specifically attack physically activists, but it's kind of this law kind of opening space for marginalization and targeting environmental groups and like all the NGOs, but environmental groups as well. So we already seen examples when some business companies or some just pro-governmental activists called to the authorities to check some organizations and called to label them as a foreign agent. So it's not just only authorities, it's also like some companies, like some nuclear companies are calling to the prosecutor to check if one of our groups was criticizing this company, and this company asked prosecutor to check if this organization foreign agents or not, and then they became a foreign agents. And there are also kind of government affiliated so-called journalists that are trying to also, you know, like gain some popularity on labeling these foreign agents, trying to destroy Russian economy because of criticizing some environmental unfriendly projects. And also we see already then when some people who was criticizing some companies also or authorities was targeted physically, like I can mention like one of our colleagues from Ufa was physically attacked right after he met with the representative of the company about like waste disposal. He was criticizing and disagreeing with this company about like location and technologies and criticizing them. And right after the meeting with company representatives, he was attacked physically in his car. It's one case. And we also had an example when environmental camp in Krasnodar was also attacked by a group of armed people. And then authorities wasn't really willing to investigate the case and kind of, yeah, they just like don't really willing to investigate the case, which is also, we can say that it's also kind of a sign that authorities kind of involved or at least kind of support these actions. And another journalist, environmental journalist, was attacked also in another part of Russia. So it's becoming more and more often, I would say. And it's also connected to the law, because law kind of opening the space for which hand to the activists in general and environmental activists in particular, because like when human rights activists just criticizing the state, environmental activists criticizing the state projects and also like corporate projects at the same time.
Okay, Vitaly, it's quite clear the pressure also being received by, for example, the corporations. We would like to ask what's happening, for example, with the media in your countries, particularly the state-owned media or the pro-governmental NGOs. What is the situation with them in terms of pressure also for you? How are you living this?
Okay, state media, of course, kind of providing support and implementing policies at state proposes, and in the state media and most of the official media and most of the biggest media is a state owned or owned by media corporations affiliated with the state, so it's state controlled anyway, even if it's not state owned. And there's been several news stories or like news programs about foreign agents and how they destroy the country and so on. And one of the most ridiculous examples, it's when our colleague from Ural region, Nadezhda Kutepova, had to flee the country because in the federal TV channel was announced that she lived in a closed mono-nuclear city and she was criticizing Rosatom. And in this federal channel for the whole country, they announced that she's a spy and she is destroying state secrets and the nuclear industry. She and her kids in the kindergarten was asked if their mother is a really spy or not. And it became really dangerous for her and her kids to be in the country. So she had to flee the country and seek asylum in France. So she did like 3 years ago. And then when she and her lawyers went to the court to like for a trial with this media companies, they just removed this new story from their webpage, and they announced in the court that they never did this reportage at all. So it's kind of, and court agree with this. Even our colleague and lawyers provided like screenshots, the recording of this program and everything.
Okay, Vitaly, what's happening with the Russian Social Ecological Union, Friends of the Earth, Russia? Have you been labeled as a foreign agent organization or not?
The Russian Social Ecological Union itself is not labeled because we don't have a bank account, and officially we don't have any financial activity. So most of the activity has been done by our groups or members, because most of us are members of regional organizations. So as I told already, around 10 environmental groups out of 30 environmental groups labeled as foreign agents, connected to RCO or like our direct members, or have some cooperation or ties with the Russian Social Ecological Union. And it's how we affected, and it's also why we like also look into this issue specifically and providing support to the groups that need when they're labeled. But the Russian Social Ecological Union itself wasn't labeled. And we hope that we won't be labeled, and we will kind of provide possibility to work on behalf of RCO to other groups, which was labeled, because it became more complicated to do some official work on like public environmental expertise or something. So people and groups still need some organization to act on behalf of. So we're providing this possibility for Russia.
Okay, Vitaly, I would like to ask you, is there any chance of discussing these issues and the dangers that all you are saying mean for the NGOs and even for the discussion of the different aspects that the NGOs work on in the country? Have you had the chance of talking about this with the government, or is it absolutely impossible?
It's not really. I mean, you can... It's not really possible. I mean, you can have some kind of dialogue or discussions, and we provided some information to, you know, like ombudsman or like President Human Rights Council about our cases, and they kind of delivered this cases and information and trying to negotiate with authorities, but not us directly. And if to be honest, I don't really believe that it's possible, because this law was like created by the government specifically to marginalize NGOs, and there is no way that they will kind of recall this law or change it somehow. I mean, they do some changes all the time, but most of the time it's like just worsening the situation and not the opposite. So I would say that even if there will be possibility to discuss it somehow, but it's clear that authorities want to weaken and destroy civil society, so there is probably no way to make it better. I mean, only way to make situation better is just like work with people, and like people will become more aware and will pressure and call for changes, and then something might really change. But not just by asking authorities to change it. They will never do this by themselves.
Okay, Vitaly, yeah, I understand. So the question now is, how do you move on as an organization in this context? I mean, can you still do your work in this framework?
It's also kind of tricky, but I mean, I would say it became more and more difficult, but still possible. And we have examples of different tactics of different organizations. Some of them, as I mentioned before, trying to kind of self-censorship their work and became less critical, or trying to build kind of soften their critique and everything. And some organizations don't. And and it's also different from region to region. You know, Russia is a big country, and different situation in different regions. And we have some regions where most of the environmental groups already kind of closed down, and there's almost no environmental groups, and people working individually, which is more difficult. And in some regions, with like stronger organizations, and they keep up their work. So it's, I mean, for sure it's more difficult to do work, but it's still possible in some places, and organizations keep doing their work, even if it's difficult. So we will just see how long we can last.
Yeah, Vitaly. Okay, I understand. Finally, if you have the opportunity to say something to the international community, what would you say? What is the message that you are trying to pass through?
It's like always, it's important to keep ties. It's important to support and like be aware of the situation in Russia and spread the information. Sometimes when organization finds, we call for like some fundraising and everything. And I don't think that any like call for to politicians in Russia will really help, but like solidarity and support by other groups and people, which we have seen already from France Resource Federation a couple of times. So all this really important and helps. So yeah.
Okay. Okay, Vitaly, is there anything else that you would like to add before we end this talk?
I just would say that it's, as you already mentioned, we made this report in cooperation with FOI Norway and FOI Europe, also helping us to spread the report. And I've spent a couple of last weeks in Europe to spread information about the report and the situation. So it's already kind of a lot of help and solidarity from other groups. I just want to thank Friends of the Earth for this help and hope we can like cooperate in the future as well.
Okay, Vitaly. It was Vitaly Cervenik, the co-chair of the Russian Social Ecological Union, that's Friends of the Earth Russia. Vitaly, you have been very kind. Thank you very much for your time and for this interview.
Thank you.
Real World Radio, broadcasting free words, building popular communications by FOI.